revised her opinion. The next case is 98-6 State XRL Shelton versus Fireman and Policeman Death Benefit Fund.
There's no other section. There's no other administrative section.
Of the law, the basis of its denial, that this court has held that that would be an erroneous if this court does my interpretation of 742.41, not creating the government. Secondly, yes, the standard is by arbitrary increases. But in this case, I did not give trial court level or the trial court level any rationale for why it could not fashion a discovery where the would serve interests of all parties. I got no rationale. I guess one could say that that's arbitrary interpretation, and I can't guess at the answer either. If the trial court wanted to guess the trial court why it did that, I would have probably accepted that. But I got no rationale, and even the appellee, I don't believe, has ever indicated why it would be a good reason not to allow us to, for example, have the fund contact some members and let them know about the lawsuit and let them decide whether they want to be a part of the lawsuit or whether they want their documentation not to be disclosed. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be a perfectly acceptable reason other than the trial court.
Well, it's requiring, for one thing, it's requiring a public agency to essentially do the lawyer's work at some expense, maybe some out-of-pocket expense and some resource expense. I mean, that would be one reason, I would think. Now, it may not be a defeating reason, but it's certainly a rational reason for the trial court to decide. I'm not going to require this agency to do the lawyer's work for it.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that our brief is the appellate court decision where the court held that the same rationale that this would create on the defendant of burden that he has to produce documents. And the court said, well, that's fine, but there's no reason that you can't turn around and ask the plaintiff to pay for those costs. And if there is indeed a cost, send out a letter to, I don't know, court or maybe even a couple hundred people, that would be the turn around the plaintiff to absorb those costs or to become, as in most contracts, become one of the costs of the case, I believe. And that would be the case cited by the, I forget the name of the case.
I think it's in your brief, isn't it?
Yeah. Simmons versus Merrill Lynch appears in 53 of all apps, section 91. And in our opinion, the no privileges created by statute 742.41b. The only language in 742.41b speaks of the information being not open, quote, not open for public inspection. We take this to mean that the use of public information requests that one would ask of a certain subdivision, in this case or other government agencies, are precluded. However, such information of confidential grounds is not privileged in discovery in a lawsuit. As the other Civil Rule 26G1 permits discovery of all matters, not privileged. And the mandate of discovery should doubly apply when the matter that we seek to discover would have to benefit the members whose personal information contained therein. And when we say personal, we were actually just looking for the names and addresses of the members who would not be in the class of individuals who might be entitled to representative. So that was our idea of personal information. It appears to be the recent history of the General Assembly when enacting the statute that if information is not to be available in court proceedings, that the General Assembly usually uses the word privilege. Or in a couple of statutes, they have said that disclosure shall not be had, quote, in any legal proceeding, trial, or investigation, end quote, as in 2017-02 and 2739-04, respectively. And when the General Assembly recently reenacted and renumbered RC 1125.14, which is the case statute athletes rely on, when they renumbered it to 1121.18, the legislature expressly noted, or expressly made the bank finding privileged, quote, privileged and confidential. So, I believe we can presume that the General Assembly knows about 2061 and that all discovery can be had except for privileged matters. And so when they wrote 742.41b and did not use the word privilege and did not expressly exclude the information from legal proceedings to trial and investigation, I think we can infer the General Assembly's intent that they did not want to create a privilege from discovery and that they did not want to administrative privilege that would prevent government claims to be one.
The trial court's decision, in part, said plaintiff's motion to dismiss plaintiff's claims are granted in part and denied in part. Is there still something pending in the trial court?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. That's enough. Is this a final appealable order?
The denial of class certification is my understanding is a final appealable order. The court will address that in the decision.
It always is on that particular denial of class certification is, but that's not really what your appeal is on here. It's on discovery, isn't it?
Right. The court of appeals addressed that too and indicated that because the discovery issue is adjunct to the certification question, that it was right for appeal.
What's still pending in the trial court?
Well, issues of retroactive, issues of whether interest and longevity benefits were due to Jane Shelton. And issues related to my other client, Cynthia Franklin, who's been added to the court proper, added to the lawsuit, whether she's entitled to retrospective benefits.
Okay, now as you proceed through those issues, and it becomes apparent, let's assume, that they're entitled to those benefits and that your claim for relief is well taken, are you in a position then to reassert a motion for, you're not going to be now, it's going to be res judicata now if we rule on it, are you not in a position there at the trial court to say, and she's just one of the number who have come forward and I need to certify this as a class, and couldn't the trial court still certify as a class?
The trial court indicated that we had no way of establishing numerosity because we're not entitled to discovery. And I have no idea if there are three people out there or 300 now who made representation, and the athletes never rebutted them that there were numerous people. But we have no way of convincing the trial court that there are, that the trial court itself, that we cannot establish numerosity because the statute keeps the identities unknowable, quote unknowable.
We had that same sort of issue in a case called Humphrey versus Riverside Hospital, where...
That's older case. Early 80s.
Everything's old to me these days. No, it's a case where the Legionnaire's disease, and it was a discovery issue. Whether or not one person at Riverside Hospital here in Columbus had gotten Legionnaire's disease, and whether the plaintiffs could discover all the people in the hospital at that time who had gotten Legionnaire's disease. And that was a discovery question. And we said that wasn't a final appealable order, or at least some of us did.
Well, I did not raise this court, of course, and the court of appeals didn't rule that it was final appealable.
Okay.
And if it's not, I have no idea how we are going to get discovery on this issue until after the lawsuit's over. But it's not final appealable.
And if we affirm, you're never going to get it.
Pardon me?
And if we affirm, you're never going to get it.
That's right. The court holds that this statute creates a privilege of discovery. I still would maintain that there still should be a method by which these people can be contacted and their needs, the beneficiaries of this fund, their needs to be met, as well as claims. Because I think ultimately that's the stake here.
I suppose the practical matter, if you receive a declaratory judgment on behalf of your client in your favor, a lot of people in the same situation would come forward with that. You don't think so?
Your Honor, I doubt it. The Rosen decision came out in 93, and I'm not aware of the Rosen lawsuit against the fund for retrospective benefits. People just don't know about it. I don't think the fund is informed about the Rosen decision. Moreover, if this is certified as a class action lawsuit, the date of filing is March 25th, 94, and all the members who have a definite statute of limitations would be in money. If they start filing lawsuits now, they may be barred from very significant recovery of class benefits, but if great deal more benefits than the entitled to. Dating back at least 6 years, around March 5th, 1994.
What if we go through all of this and then in the end find that Roseman was prospective only?
Well,
this could be a logical reading, as I remember of Roseman. I either wrote part of it or had something to do with it.
As I recall, in her particular case, it wasn't prospective. She's entitled for spouse benefits. I would think that would be the case for any litigant who's part of this lawsuit, that would be entitled to spouse benefits as well.
Well, it can be entitled to the litigant in the particular case and prospective, but nobody else.
I would guess that's correct, and that's why, of course, these people are litigants here. Maybe the
Yeah, but they're post-Roseman litigants.
I wasn't aware that it would be that way, that anybody who filed after Mrs. Roseman would not be anything but except Mrs. Roseman, and we're all trying to do the same thing. Without the retrospective benefits of Mrs. Roseman.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Mr. Ken Wall.
Beginning of creation. Now, if class certification or this one point of building Franco was had a change of status outside the issue of that statute of limitations. There may be a cause of action and reason for classification.
Was the trial court informed of what you just informed us?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It was in the motion in opposition to classification.
So the issue before us really is only then the retrospective application of Roden?
With all due respect, Your Honor, that issue is not before us.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry to clarify that. It hasn't been stated, but that is the issue, isn't it?
That will be the issue.
Between the parties.
Absolutely. Whether somebody within that 6-year statute of limitations has a right to be admitted is more an interesting question. The newness of the argument.
So what's the question we should answer in this case?
The one question.
What law should we write in this case?
Your Honor, I don't think the court has to write any court. All it has to do is follow the legislation. The General Assembly has already said that a member's personal history record, including such things as name and address, medical documents, benefit payment, benefit status, all of that is confidential. It's not subject to public inspection. Now, the appellant wants to say this exception for public inspection is only the exception to the Public Records Act under 149.43.
No, but even if it weren't, there's no cause of action because the people involved are not affected anymore. They've already been taken care of or will be. That's probably the answer to why they're not coming out of the woodwork.
Perhaps, Your Honor, it is.
Because you dug them out.
That's right, Your Honor. We did voluntarily. Now, in all fairness, there may be recipients who change status before the 6-year period, and they may have a right to that benefit if this court or another court, which is positive on the front, decides that Roseman was retroactive, that funds for protection. Now, if that decision is made, whether it be one litigant or a class action, the funds will do like it did with Roseman. They'll go back and make those payments voluntarily. There's no policy reason for a class action.
Okay, counsel, I'm happy to hear the answer that you provided in terms of the we're being asked here to decide a legal issue with respect to some mechanism for determining what the affected class of victims might be. Wouldn't it be bad law for us to say you just can't get there ever? Because let's assume there's some benefit in, that's the benefit to which four people in one of these systems is entitled, and that board digs in to the banquet. We're not saying we don't think they have the money or whatever to say to Christ the honest. And to, you know, that case is out there, but let them figure out who's the victim. Shouldn't someone who steps forward and says, well, I'm going to court, lay this out, if they're able to show there's probable good meritorious cause of action, be able to then undertake a class action or at least get the information as to who the other folks are that are in those situations with the class action. I doubt the legislature thought about class action.
The legislature did think, however, about the sphere of litigation and what information will be available to the court pursuant to the court order. Now, it did not address specifically discovery or exception to discovery. What it did say, though, was that when a court issued an order to denounce the support for child support under 3113.21, in that limited circumstance, the court is entitled to a member's record. By providing for that exception along with other exceptions, not including the right to a class action if there is any one, the legislature told us, do not release this information unless it exists in one of the exceptions.
But your view would be that if a judge, when confronted with potential cause of action, someone stepped up to the plate, a member of the system said, here's what happened to me, Judge, and I believe I have a good claim, the judge,
undertake the hearing, what that looks to me like to do after this claim. And then that person's lawyer says, we think there are 10,000 other citizens in the state similarly situated, and we want the system to tell us who those folks are, names and addresses, and how much benefit that who has the same problem as Mary General. And the answer would be, privilege, we're not telling.
So, Your Honor, we submit that the policy is that one litigant in court filed an action would not meet the benefit of a class action lawsuit in order to achieve that end for these type of purposes.
That's not the purpose of a class action lawsuit.
So, Your Honor, there are numerous purposes of a class action lawsuit. However, in a case where the fund is going to be directed by a case to the mandate of spiritual judgment, and the fund, which is statutorily created, has a duty in accordance with the trial court decision or eventually perhaps this court decision, that they must pay benefits to all these citizens. Nothing is achieved by your client without a class action.
So if I understand you correctly, if we say this is not a final appealable order because this ruling on this double issue has to come up in the regular court process, this case goes back down and get past whatever procedural or attorneys are standing on there.
If he gets a judgment that finds that this is retroactive further than your 6-year agreement, based on that one plaintiff, you're about to take that decision and find it. Provided there's no stay of that mandate and appeal to. If we determine that it's the final judgment, yes, the final stay that we did proceed and apply to all similarly situated
individuals. So in that situation, then, if that is the final judgment and you apply that,
I'd like to take it to the statutory language. The records of the fund shall be open for public inspection except for the following. And then later down in the section, there's the reference to the medical privilege, the privilege of medical records. As you know, the appellant argues that the exception is really to prevent the sort of prying eyes, people coming in and going through the records of the funds for whatever reason. And that discovery is a very discreet purpose that should be identified by the legislature as specifically as a privilege or as an exception. You've argued, made your argument in brief. I'd like to hear your strongest argument against the appellant's argument at that point.
Your Honor, specifically with regard to the privilege argument, we submit openly that this statute would be clear. It would be easy for our interpretation if it said these documents, once they enter the system, they can't respond our privilege. That provision generally does not take. However, if this court looks at the exception and what the General Assembly intended to do when it enacted that provision, the exception, as I indicated earlier, set forth limited circumstances where the legislature itself determines that public policy interests outweigh the interest of privacy. And when the legislature came up with that decision, that outweighed, instituted the exception. It has not done so. Now, whether that results harsh or unfair is not an issue for telling to raise before court. It's not an issue which the court can decide. This court has said that an appellant perceives public policy rationale that a statutory privilege does not yield to that type of rationale. That's what we have here. We have an appellant saying, we need to make a class action. We've been bringing a action as a private litigant. Isn't good enough. So give us all the names, information, and benefit status of your members, your assistants, and let us go to a class action. Well, Your Honor, what we are saying is the fund and the board of trustees, which runs the fund, act as a trustee for all members and all beneficiaries. And in applying and interpreting the plain language of the statute, the fund would be an application of the duty, would be an abuse of the fund, trustees, and the discretion to release those documents.
So you would use that section if a newspaper came along and said, we have information that there are certain people drawing from the pension and disability fund, the widows, who really aren't widows. And we'd like a list of the name and addresses of the people that are receiving benefits under this particular section. You'd say, no, 74241B1 says personal history is, and therefore you can't have it.
And this one says, why the fund objects to every scheme which asks for, even money privately, asks for his or her own doctrine. Although harsh, the fund responds, we cannot give this to you until we have written authorization.
Well, you can't get written authorization from somebody you don't know exists.
Let me add another question for you. Is the word privilege in Rule 26B1, is that a term of art, do you think, or is it a sort of a generic term? Parties may obtain discovery regarding any matter not privileged. The matter here is not identified as privileged by the General Assembly. It's an exception to a public record. Permission. How do we put those two together?
We would ask the court to include that the term privilege doesn't include more than technically privilege. We do amend that 742.41 creates privilege, then therefore falls within any interpretation the court comes up with. However, as a final judgment, even if this court were to conclude in its duty to interpret the statute that this is not a privilege, this case below was decided upon a discovery, something the trial court had the inherent discretion to determine what would be allowed. In fact, the defendant's fund filed a motion for protective order under Rule 26C, stating that it would be undue burden and hardship and oppression to release these records. Privilege and claim upon, we have a duty to keep these records confidential. And therefore, we release them with the allegation of our duty. And the trial court sustained that motion based upon 2016, not upon the narrow word privilege. And the opening of that discovery.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Mason, you've used your time, but let me take 30 seconds.
Yes, sir. There is a position for a professional out here. If there are issues that regarding retrospectivity, even though they indicate they will apply retrospectively, benefits to individuals going back 6 years from Roseland, they're only going to do that for people whose status changed in that 6 year period. If your status changed, your kids became of age in 1985, and you should get payments all the way to the year 2005, they will not give you your payments between 1985 and 1993, this retrospective payment. So there is a class. There are a lot of people who will lose out here if this case is not made a class action lawsuit. Secondly, they have indicated that they will rely on the statute of limitations. So when they apply retrospectively, we're supposed to assume that they will rely on the good office to take care of their fund members. I don't think that necessarily means that they're not going to rely on the statute of limitations to keep people out. And thirdly, I'll point out simply that even though they're not coming out of Woodward, Mrs. Roseman didn't come out of Woodward for 16 years. She didn't understand that she had a cause of action. And most of these widows don't understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. The case is submitted to you.
That's a good sign.
The next case is